promise to tell you the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. That's my aim this evening. The object in the dock, the Word of God. Quite simple, really. Now, I have to lay the blame for this address on one young Matthew Lowe. He's not here, so I can talk about it. And the reason for that is, this is only the second time in my whole speaking career that I have used someone else's notes. And that is because throughout this day, in this country, I don't know about internationally, but certainly in this country, we're all speaking on the same subject. A consistent message. Now, whether I'll be consistent enough this evening is another matter, of course. And should you be wondering about this ream of papers here, which are 30 in number, which have all been given to the speakers using this subject, you're not going to be home early this evening. No, I don't really mean that. Because what I've done, I've shortened it. You'll be glad to know. Now, whether that will make any sense, you can be the judge of that. Because that's what it's about, really. So, the address this evening is just about that. Now, those of you who know me will realise that me and computers do not go together. In fact, the only thing that I can do on a computer is use it as a word processor and occasionally send an email and read an email. I have to tell you, it's nothing like my old Olivetti typewriter. And when Tippex came out, that was even more wonderful. Well, that's gone a long while ago, hasn't it? So what I've done, yes, what I've done, is I've printed off all the sheets that go together with this address this evening. Now, whether you will be able to read them at the back, I have no idea, Jared, but thank you for the water, by the way. You'll be able to tell me at the end, won't you? And so, my PowerPoint address this evening is this. Power. Point. Old-fashioned. Good. And can you read it? That you can't. Should have gone to Specsavers. So, the variety, you can read that, surely can't you? The variety of people who wrote the Bible.
Right.
You poor old soul.
So, we have a variety of people. This is how this starts, by the way. I've just printed this off. So, these are the variety of people who wrote the Bible with backgrounds, locations, situations, and the dates. And you will see down this side that there were slaves, temple servants, priests, kings, musicians, customs officer, doctor, and fisherman. The places they came from: Egypt, Israel, Babylon, Persia, Rome, Greece, and Turkey. And then the situations: single, married, that's the speaker, marital problems, that's everywhere. And then the dates. Now, the important bit is probably the bit you can't read, Jared, so I'll read it for you. There is no other book in the world written by so many different authors spread over a period of 1,500 years that has one consistent message. Some of the Bible writers suffered terribly or even died in giving this message, and people don't give their lives for a message they've made up. So, the Bible is indeed a tremendous and different book. Now, you'll be pleased to know that I haven't got many. Well, I've got all the sheets, but I'm not intending to read them all. But some, I think, are important to us. Firstly, the Bible is a unique book amongst the world's history books. It is brutally honest about great men it describes, and it gives a balanced picture. It tells us what to admire in them, and with equal openness it tells us where each one fell down. That in itself is unusual. Most historians' records of ancient kings are notably silent about their misdeeds. That is not the Bible case. And so we have what we call undesigned coincidences. Now, I've got three books on here. This is a bit of free advertising, by the way, because the books mentioned in these handouts are Blunt's Coincidences, William Paley's Evidences of Christianity, and this one, which is the Treasury Scripture of Knowledge. I can recommend all three. It just so happens that I've got all three on my shelves. So, undesigned coincidences. We've just got three mentions here, and I'm not going to turn all these things up, otherwise I think that will only lengthen my discourse this evening, other than to tell you that we saw giants in the land, that's Numbers 13. None of the Anakims, which is who the giants were, Joshua chapter 11, and a champion who you certainly will know, of the Philistines named Goliath from Gath, whose height was 6 cubits and a span. Three different books, three different writers, possibly, but the same message. That's what I call consistency. So that's what we're about. So that wherever you go in the Bible, you will find messages that are the same. Now, if we're going to do that, then obviously I've got to bring before you a little bit more than just three passages of Scripture where these consistencies are found. Blunt, which is the first book over here on my left, records about 100 of what he calls undesigned coincidences. A similar book by William Paley, looking at the New Testament, lists even more. And Bible students, of course, are discovering still more for themselves. Now, if you wanted to, you could pick up either of those books and have a look at them, and it would certainly take you through to where those coincidences occur in Scripture. And then there's a little bit more in actual fact, which is this treasury of Scripture knowledge. This contains 500,000 links in Scripture. Passages you can go to, given a word, for example, and it will take you to 500,000 different links and ideas, cross-references, if you like. For example, if you looked at Genesis 12, verse 3, then that book will tell you many more, but the most important ones would be Genesis 18, Acts 3, Psalm 72, and Galatians 3, verse 8. Don't worry about this, we're going to look at them all, because we're not. But those references would all be concerned with the same biblical message. Now that really is consistent almost from the beginning to the end of Scripture. Now that's incredible, isn't it, really, when you look at that. And so that's what the Bible is really all about. There are many others that we could go to, but again, I'm not going to do that because of time. The Bible message. For example, where did we come from? Well, we believe as Christadelphians that we were put here by a power greater than ourselves. And the Bible, in fact, actually tells us where we came from. Never mind the man who comes on the television and tells us that we're descended from apes or some other amoeba-like creature given over millions of years. The Bible is true and consistent with what it tells us about where we came from. And if you wanted support for that as a consistent argument, then we could go to the book of Genesis, chapter 1 and verse 1, where it says, "In the beginning God created the heavens and the earth." To Jeremiah chapter 32, "Our Lord God, behold, you have made the heavens and the earth by your great power and outstretched arm. There is nothing too hard for you." And then to the Acts of the Apostles. We'll turn to that one, shall we? Chapter 17, which we referred to this morning. The Acts of the Apostles and chapter 17. And if we read verses 24. "God that made the world and all things therein, seeing that he is Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with men's hands, neither is worshipped with men's hands, as though he needed anything, seeing he giveth to all life and breath and all things, and hath made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell on the face of the earth, and hath determined the times before appointed and the bounds of their habitation, that they should seek the Lord, if haply they might feel after him, and find him, though he be not far from every one of us. For in him we live, and move, and have our being, as certain also of your own poets have said, for we are also his offspring." And so those three passages of scripture there will tell us how consistent the Bible is, especially if you look at the time span of those three particular quotations there. That's unusual, isn't it? Let me tell you what I'm trying to say very briefly. If three of us went to a football match, we probably come back with three different reports. One would be those who are watching the team in blue and white. Two would be watching the team in black and gold. And three, the other one would have been to watch a football match, which he probably wouldn't have seen with either of those. But it would be different depending upon who you supported, who you followed, and what you saw which was of interest to you. So there wouldn't be too much consistency about that, would there? Whereas the Bible doesn't do that. It's consistent throughout. Same message, same deliverance, different people. Now, one of the reasons for that is that it is because our Creator doesn't change. He's the same all the time. And again, the consistency of Scripture tells us about that. The psalmist, when writing in Psalm 102, says, "But you are the same, and your years will have no end." Malachi, the last book in the Old Testament, "For I am the Lord, I do not change." In James chapter 1, verse 17, "The Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning." Isn't that lovely? Three different passages of Scripture that all say the same thing. And the great thing about that is this, that our Creator's words are true and so can be relied on. I like that. Reliability. Not much of that about these days, is there? When was the last time you relied on somebody to do something and they actually did it? When they said they would and how they said they would. Yes. Well, God's quite different. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Deuteronomy says, the writer Moses is a God of truth. The psalmist says, the entirety of your word is truth. And John says, your word is truth. Again, all consistent messages throughout the whole of Scripture. Now, what our Creator does do, he asks that we should respect him for all the things that he has shown us in his word. And that will be entirely up to you as to whether you want to do that or not. And if you do, you will be rewarded. If not, it will be quite the opposite. So it does make a difference as to what you think about God. It's up to us whether we accept his message or whether we reject his message. On the one hand, it will be death, and on the other, it will be life. But that is entirely up to you. So when we come to the meaning of life, which is one of the important questions asked in these papers, what is it all about? Well, our Creator's care is shown to us throughout the Scriptures. And again, we have just three passages of Scriptures here which support that idea. For example, our Creator has promised that the natural cycles which support our lives will continue. I know you don't like winter. Me and Cedric have been talking about it earlier on. But it comes and goes, doesn't it? So does spring and autumn and summer. And that's what Genesis verse 8 tells us. And Jeremiah says, "Let us now fear the Lord our God, who gives rain both the former and the latter in its season. He reserves for us the appointed weeks of the harvest." Matthew, "For he makes his sun rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and the unjust." And again, three passages of Scripture throughout the Scriptures that have a consistent message within them. And God sent his Son to show us how we should reflect his care. The Jews were promised a special prophet who would speak for God, Deuteronomy 18, verse 18. Jesus came to show us what God is like, John 1, verse 18. By following Christ's example of showing love, we are imitating God, Ephesians 5, verse 1. And so I'm reiterating, really, the consistency of all these Scriptures, no matter what the subject might be. That's another great thing about the Scriptures of truth. It's always consistent. So God cares for people, and it involves a plan to enable them to have life after death. That's extremely important. Let me just quote you these passages of scripture. The writer of Psalm 49 was confident in God's plan when he says, God will redeem my soul from the power of the grave. John 3:16, you don't need to remind you of that, do you? And then Romans 5:8, but God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. So knowing that we have a caring Creator gives us confidence for the future. I haven't seen any news today, but I saw a little of it yesterday evening. What a dreadful accident on the M5 motorway that destroyed lives and put to risk those who are still in hospital. And if you look at the problems that Greece have brought forward, not only Greece, Italy and probably France as well, the European wonderful, eccentric, dreadful scheme has fallen down. I think it's probably true to say, although I shouldn't really say it, that should our Prime Minister offer the people of this country a referendum, it's probably that they would say no. And that would mean us slipping out of the European alliance. That's political in its ends, isn't it? But the world is in such a mess. So where can you go for a future that is assured, that is secure, and that will give you a hope of eternal life? Well, the plan is in the Bible, but we need to trust in God and we need to take him at his word. Well, those who are not interested in what God has to say throughout his word, and those who are not interested in his plan, must suffer the consequences. I don't know whether you can see this little picture on the right hand side, but it is of a graveyard, and that's a grave covered with flowers that somebody has just been buried. That is the consequence of not taking God at his word. That is the consequence of not believing in God's message. And that still applies today. So, the people in Noah's day rejected God's message and were destroyed. That also still applies. Genesis 6 says, then the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. So the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth. And he did. And just 8 people were saved. Proverbs, chapter 14, verse 12. There is a way that seemeth right to a man, but its end is the way of death. That would be the majority of the population now living upon this globe. But Matthew says, but everyone who heeds these sayings of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain descended and the floods came and the winds blew and beat on that house and it fell, and great was the fall of it. But the other side to that, was the man who built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the wind blew and beat upon that house. And it didn't fall, because it was founded upon a rock. So, just these few points to consider. Our Creator is concerned about people. God sent His Son to show us how to reflect that care in our own lives. And God's care for people involves a plan to enable them to have life after death. Knowing that we have a caring God gives us confidence in His promise of a future life after death. There is no life after death for those who are not interested in God's plan. Is the Bible consistent? I should say so. But just to finish off, what really would make you change your minds and come to read the Bible as a way of life and as something to place your hopes in and as something that you would consistently read as a book of hope? Because the hope is that a worldwide peaceful kingdom will shortly be established upon this earth. And God plans to fill the earth with people who respect Him. Psalm 37 says, "But the meek shall inherit the earth, and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace." Daniel says, "Then the kingdom and dominion and the greatness of the kingdoms under the whole heaven shall be given to the people, the saints of the Most High." Revelation chapter 20 verse 6 says, "Blessed and holy is he who has part in the first resurrection. They shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him for 1,000 years. Well, I have to tell you, I'm looking forward to the return of the Lord Jesus Christ, because that's when all this is going to begin. An end to the death and misery that is in the world, when God's promises will be fulfilled and the earth will be beautified and the Lord Jesus Christ will reign in righteousness. And you and me, it is hoped, will be part of that plan when you will be given eternal life and you will be able to praise the Creator of all the universe forever. Well, it's up to you. I'm not going to read the other 10 pages that are left here, you will be pleased to know. Well, you. So do you think it's consistent, the Bible, that is? And if not, perhaps I could ask you to look for some inconsistencies. And when you found them, would you let me know? That would be very interesting. I hope what we've had to say via the power and the point, so that the consistent message that's gone out tonight, perhaps not too consistent at live, but maybe more consistent elsewhere, has had an effect upon those who have listened, so that they may come to God in the very near future and have their fears destroyed and their hopes brought to fruition. Thank you for listening.